These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Kelger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
In the regular season, do you remember any loss quite like this and how difficult it is to overcome something like what occurred on the last play of the game?
Well, you know, mental toughness is what gets you through every loss that I've had. And whether you lose by one like we did or you lose by four touchdowns, which we've done, you know, you've got to just refocus and you got to realize it's a new week. And, you know, anything that you could have learned or gained from the previous week, you obviously use going forward. And like I said before, there's a lot of positive things to take from it. But, you know, you're not going to dwell on something that happened in the past. I think part of being a great football team is moving past things that haven't gone your way and dealing with adversity and really focusing on what's ahead of us. And we've got our whole season ahead of us. For all of us, you know, it's a matter of what we do from here. And we're not going to let one play, like I said today, define our season.
That was the one line I liked from Brady last night. Not going to let one play define their season. Is that what it's going to be? They're going to put that thing in the rear view last week against Miami, bounce back, roll over the Steelers like they usually do. Join us an hour late, as per our request this week. Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe joins us in a Town Fair Tire Studios. How you doing, Chris?
Yeah, thanks for throwing that in there, because I didn't love the way you introduced it. An hour late. Asked me to be on at this time for a very good reason, a very good cause.
We pushed him back an hour, and so we get Gasper 5 to 6.
Yeah.
Murray, you know what I just forgot to do?
You forgot to give away the
Jimmy,
tickets.
Jimmy, give it to me again. Come on, hit it. Thank you. Yes. Feel that, Gasper. Feel that, kid?
Slap you across the face with a bag of wet mushrooms. Give them away, Felger.
Oh, turn that up, Jimmy. If that doesn't hit you, then you just don't. Oh.
And you just have nothing going through your
nothing.
Your body, your bloodstream, all
yeah,
through your
they
consciousness.
They were the girls with the balloons.
Over here, Felger looks like Merton Hanks over here. Remember when Merton Hanks used to have that? Yeah, exactly.
No, that's how Brady takes a hit. So disperses the force through his body.
He does, yeah. Brady's actually a Jedi. He's dispersing the force through his body, redirecting.
Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see Dead & Company June 22nd at Gillette Stadium. Tickets on sale now through all Ticketmaster outlets and Ticketmaster.com. Good luck on the seats.
I get balloons too?
Gasper, how do you feel about your football team this week?
You know, here's how I feel about this. To me, this has been a difficult Patriots team to figure out all year long. I think a lot of us, myself included, at the core sort of feel like at the end of the day, they'll still be the Patriots. If they don't win this game in Pittsburgh, then I'll be really concerned, because this is a team that they own and this is a spot that they deliver in. And so if they go to Pittsburgh in this spot and lose, then that tells me there is something flawed with this team and it's not your normal Patriots team.
I sort of feel that way. I read your column today. I agree. It's like I said earlier, it's a big game for my perception of them. For my head. Because, I mean, for the standings, Gasper, they can lose and easily still be that home team. And
that's true.
You know, someone else chokes and they can be home throughout. Like, it's not really going to change. Pittsburgh's not going to catch them. So, it's that doesn't change. But it's, what kind of year are we looking at here?
Yeah, what's the vulnerability factor? You know, and we've sort of gone back and forth on some. You know, I said a couple of weeks ago that I felt like this had the whiff of a 2005, 2006, 2013 type of season where it's just a grind the whole time. And they get their opportunity, particularly in 06. You should have won that game. And in 13, you're in the AFC Championship game. That's nothing to sneeze at. For most organizations, that's a wildly successful season. But as I've said before, they don't get judged by the competition they're dealing with on a contemporary basis. They get judged against their own standard. And I think we'll look at them and say they're not up to their own standard this year. It's been a grind at this point. And even, you know, Brady today, I heard you guys play it. I was actually at Brady's press conference today. And it just sort of seems he's like, well, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll see how we play on the road. We'll see what we can do. We're going to give it our best. You know, I'm not even sure that at this point Bill and Brady know what to expect from this team on the road.
Because they don't. Like, so what I was just going to say to you guys is, you know, and if they win this game, does that really change your opinion of them?
Here's the thing. They win this game, you have to give them credit because, I think it would be their best road win of the season. I know you don't think much of Chicago. If you go into Pittsburgh, a team that's going to be in the playoffs, and you beat them, a desperate Pittsburgh team that's lost 3 in a row, and I know this is a team they own. Again, I said that, but wouldn't that qualify as their best road win of the season?
Yes.
Okay, so it would at that point. So you get credit for that. But to be honest with you, I think losing this game says more about them than winning it. I still give them the credit because it's not fair to say that it's a situation where they don't get credit if they win. You still have to give them credit. They've struggled on the road. It's their final road game of the regular season. They win it. That's good. But I would be wildly concerned if they lose this game just because the Patriots I know beat this team. You know, Pittsburgh's not going to really change anything. Pittsburgh rolls out the football and says, we're more talented than you. It's a bunch of bravado and machismo and cliches. And like,
noise.
That's what Pittsburgh does.
Totally.
You know, Pittsburgh is a team that is dysfunctional and disorganized, and they overcome it with talent most of the time. Talent and toughness, because they are a tough team.
But they are reeling right now. I mean, they probably should have lost four games in a row, but they pulled that one out against Jacksonville.
It's true.
I played this clip earlier today. What Chris was just saying, like how Bill and Tom sounded today. Like, here's Brady being asked about, you know, why do you think this team struggled on the road this year?
It's just a different team this year. And you know, we've tried, put a lot into it. And we're trying to obviously do great in both. Just hasn't turned out that way. But we're hanging in there. I mean, we're hanging in there.
We're hanging in there. Is that what you want? I mean, this is the team that plays its best football in December. Isn't that their reputation?
So maybe this is their approach to some of those guys that they don't know about. I mean, we don't
lower the expectations.
Well, no. Question them.
Prove it.
Yeah, question them. Openly question them. We don't know about you. I mean, we think we can win this game, but do you? Because I don't know. I look at you and I think you suck. Like,
good processing, Mess.
Well, but I think that there's a method to that.
Okay, we got Gasper in studio. Your call is the final rest of the hour. It's an agenda-free Friday. It's brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges, they don't. PlanetFitness.com. Let's take a quick break. We'll do a little bit earlier, but we'll be back to take your calls. We got to clear out these donuts before Maz eats them all.
And we're talking about the wrong day to not have Perillo and Bedard.
Right back with Felger and Maz after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the best you've sounded in 8.5 years.
99.999% of the people hearing my voice, I'm talking to you. You don't know how to drive, so stay home. Or you don't have the right rig, so stay home.
What does Belichick do next? He's going to retire.
Why are we even discussing it if they just had the chance to reset?
I think it's a fun topic.
Okay, I think it's useless.
Okay.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Rams.
And I told you that's not how we're doing this.
Well, that's not how you're doing it.
If you don't know the guy's number, he doesn't belong up there.
Middleton 16.
We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
He sucks.
He blows.
He sucks and blows.
Well, I tell you this about Brady. You know, I've been thinking about this long and hard, Mike.
Couldn't you?
I don't know, Sean. What did we do then?
That's wrong.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
There's no reason why they should have signed Martinez. They didn't need him, Mike. It's going to be another disaster. Every free agent they sign, Mike, is a disaster.
Gorpalo, Ivadelli pickup here.
Stop listening to Greg Bedard. He doesn't know diddly. I'm 70 years old and a walker, and I could get separation on him. Thank you.
Yeah! Oh, Patriots are trading wide receiver Brandon Cooks. Get out!
So good luck, fella.
Oh, I'm gonna lose it.
C-sucking computers that...
That's for you, bitch. I believe it's 8 years and running of the old wet sausage.
Murray!
Felger, how about those OTAs? I guess he doesn't need those OTAs.
Give me the D.
What do you think? I don't get the question.
Why not?
Well, yes. Why not? Well, why not? Why not?
This way.
Why? Why not? I only have about 30 seconds for you, so please jam it in. 617-77... the Red Sox have won 100 games, Maz. Should we care?
Yeah, not really. And there was some other absolute sack of doorknobs in there that I don't remember. You fat dump. F for Alex Cora. F. 102 miles an hour. 102. Oh, did I love that. 102. Suck on that. 102. You can't hit that. Sit your fat ass down. 102. Sit on that one, bitch, and spin. Do you believe it?
Yes.
I don't.
I do.
I don't.
Now that they're here, they have a puncher's chance.
Do you think they have a puncher's chance?
I do.
How big is this kid, Michelle? How big is he? Not that big, is he?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
You mentioned Sony Michel.
He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
Thoughts on Tom Brady?
He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful. Courtesy of our producer, Jimmy Stewart. Jimmy, would you call that a year in review and drops? Is that what you called it yesterday?
Yes, sir.
Year in review and drops. So it's Agenda Free Friday. Felger has had to speed off, so Chris Gasper's alongside. We'll take your calls up until 6 o'clock. Oh, and I'm told Hardy has a new item for the final word that, from what I'm told, is pretty good. I haven't actually heard. It's not a Fuppets, but from what I'm told, it's pretty good.
It's excellent, Maz.
It has something to do with...
a fat dump.
Yeah, something we talked about within the last 24 hours. I'll leave it at that. 617-779-0985. Gasper's alongside. You were touching on the Steelers... Patriots game on Sunday. So allow me to try to misquote you, and if I yeah. don't, well, that's unfortunate.
Okay.
But as we talk about this game on Sunday, you said in the last segment that if the Patriots don't win this game, that they are, you know, that they will sort of destroy your perception of what they are.
They'll prove to be frauds.
Yeah, I think I'll look at it and say this isn't your traditional Patriots team. There's something askew this year. I keep waiting for them to sort of snap to it. I keep thinking that eventually they're going to pick up some traction and consistency, and that at the end of the day, it's Brady, it's Belichick. They're still the same old Patriots. If they lose this game to this team in this spot, a team that they own pretty much and have owned, they've won 5 in a row, 6 of the 7 this decade, then I will be concerned, and I will say there is something about this Patriots team that's more flawed than usual. Yes.
Okay, so here's my point, Chris. Don't we already know that? In other words, we've seen 7 road games.
Sure.
Yeah. 7.
Yeah.
And they might have a good one on Sunday. I don't rule that out. It's entirely possible that they play a good road game. Does that make you then look at them and say, well, it's fixed, no problem, they can go on the road and win in the playoffs?
I think it would put me in a position, Maz, where I would be a lot more confident that when they need to win that game, if they need to win that game, they would do it. And also, even if the games aren't on the road, just generally speaking, playoffs, if they lose this game, then I would worry, as well as they played at home this year, against an upper echelon opponent coming in here in the playoffs, that if they run into some adversity or it's a bumpy start to the game, that they won't be able to overcome that. Whereas past Patriots teams, I would feel like, would overcome that. So I think it's more about vulnerability. It's less about locale, the location of the game. It's how vulnerable is this team? What's the margin of error for this team relative to the typical Patriots team? And the years that I referenced, 05, 06, 13, the margin for error wasn't as great as we are accustomed to it being.
With this team, yeah. Right. And so, okay. So, but this is sort of what I'm getting at, is one game's not going to change that for me.
Yeah, I could see that. You're consistent. I give it to you.
Okay, well, thank you.
Consistently negative. It works for you.
But let me, what do you think of the Steelers?
I think they're a good team. I think they're a good team. Despite that is underachieved based on their talent level. Look, let me be clear about it, Mets. I know where you're going, and I'm just trying to be fair, because I feel like that doesn't always happen on the show. To be honest with you, a loss here is more meaningful than a win, but I still need to give them credit for the win. Unlike Felger and Maz, who will say the win is irrelevant, the loss means everything. But if I'm weighing the scales here, a loss is more significant to me than a win.
If they were to win this, I'll continue to believe, like I have for most of the season, that the AFC is still open, and I'd give them a chance. But if they lose, I'm with you, Chris. I think that this is...
They don't lose this game. This is not a game that they lose.
Historically, it's
yeah.
not. You're right about
like,
that.
It's like something's wrong here.
The two under Tomlin is when Matt Cassel started in 08. They came here and stomped them because the team was fake. And in 2011, when they were extremely flawed but ultimately went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they had the 31st defense. And the thing about that game in 2011, I covered that game, was that was the one game probably during this span when Dick LeBeau was the defensive coordinator, where he was like, you know what? We're not going to just do what we do. We're going to come out and play a bunch of man. And the Patriots were like so shocked initially, and it took some time to adjust. And they also did it on offense. I don't know if you remember this game, Murray. You too, Maz. So, you know, Big Ben is a gunslinger. That game, it was check down, underneath, check down. He threw it like 50 times, but they were short dink and dunk passes, which the Steelers don't normally have the patience to do. And it was like the Steelers won that way, and they were like, well, we proved we can do it. Now back to being the Steelers. You know, we're going to just do it the way we normally do it.
Because they're dumb and they're stubborn. Right?
They're stubborn. Yeah, they're a stubborn team.
They're into the bravado part of it. They are. Yeah. I don't think that highly of the Steelers now.
Okay. Well, who do you think highly of?
In the AFC?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, the two teams in the West, I still think are pretty good. In fact, the more I look at it, I think that those are probably the two best teams in the conference.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Then, when you look at the Chargers' win last night over the Chiefs, given the team and the locale, is that the most impressive win in the NFL this year?
I mean, it's up there. I haven't given that thought, so I couldn't tell you every win everyone has had on the road. But that's a good win by San Diego.
I think it's the most impressive win in the NFL this year.
I mean, look, you know,
considering they'd lost nine straight to them.
And given the spot in the fourth quarter and you're playing at Arrowhead and the team that you're playing and all that, what's on the line, I think that's the single most impressive win of the year.
I mean, they overcame 14-point deficits three times. Three times they overcame it. And for all the crap the Chiefs are taking today, much of it well-deserved and self-imposed. Because the Chiefs did sort of implode at the end of that game. You realize Kansas City's three losses this year by a total of 7 points to the Rams, the Patriots, and the Chargers.
Yeah.
Two of them on the road.
Yeah.
Right? They lost here 43-40. They lost to the Rams 54-51. And last night they lost by a point at home where the other team went for two with 3 seconds on the clock.
Yeah.
So the Chiefs are this close to being undefeated. So I know they're the Chiefs, and I know they have the history, but if the Patriots go in there, win or lose over Pittsburgh Sunday, if they have to go into Kansas City, there's no way I can, in good conscience, pick the Patriots. I just can't do it. I think
there is the Andy Reid factor, though. What did you think of this, Murray? How about he walked away from that game, went to the post-game press conference with that timeout in his pocket. So they line up in that formation. You get this timeout. You want to use that? Okay, we saw the play. Here's how we want to play. No, we don't want to use this timeout. No, they can just run the play. Oh, we busted our coverage? Oh, that's too bad. Well, you know, this timeout carries over to the next game. It doesn't carry over to the next game? Ooh, too bad.
Oh, no, it was a disaster, let alone the one they called with 8 seconds left to help San Diego out.
Yeah, that one.
I mean, he will live up to that stereotype forever.
So
just
tell
when
you what,
think like, well, maybe the Chiefs have figured something out. Andy Reid's figured it out. No, they really haven't.
Let's take a couple of calls here while Gasper's here. Some of the stuff I want to get to him, get to with him in the next segment. Dave's in Fitchburg. Dave, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to comment on last Sunday's game. Like, Devin McCourty had missed a couple bad tackles, and whatchamacallit, fouls him. I mean, Eagle there, they also commented on it, saying McCourty's having a bad day.
So, Dave, did you think Devin McCourty didn't deserve to be on the field on the final play?
Well, he should have beat Gronk being out there, but I'd say 35 to 40% of all the touchdowns scored on the Pats this year, you look at a picture of them, and one of the McCourty's is in the background chasing them.
Okay, but you started talking about Devin. You didn't talk about Jason. As we had Guy in Boston say the other day, the McCourty's could have been triplets and they'd still suck. That's what he said. Yeah.
Jason's having a really good year, and I think Devin's been solid. He had some issues with tight ends earlier in the year.
To steal a line from my friend Dan, when you're covered by two McCourty's, you're covered by none. If that guy's trying to make an excuse for Gronk being on the field, at least Devin McCourty, and he's not having the greatest year, at least both his legs work correctly right now, unlike Gronk's, and he can tackle. Like, he should have been out there. There's no excuse for Gronk to be out there on that particular play when Ryan Tannehill can't throw the Hail Mary with a bum ankle and a bum shoulder.
So I know it was 5 days ago. Yeah. It just occurred to me, though, that we haven't had a chance to talk to you since that play.
Yeah, tee me up, Matt.
So, okay, so give me your thoughts on the play.
Well, here are my two immediate thoughts on it. One, how is it that every time the players perform correctly and do something, it's Bill Belichick who gets the credit? When they fail, it's all on them. Why would you ever want to play here then? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Every time they do something correctly, it's because the coach told them to. It has nothing to do with their own capabilities or execution. But the moment they fail, though, it's all about them. It was on them. You know, they should have made the tackle.
Okay, but are you talking about what fans are saying now or what Bill's saying?
A little of both. I mean, I still thought that I thought that story, this is my second point, I think it sort of went away. Like, you know, great magic trick by Bill. I mean, he did a small, you know, mea culpa, and then it was kind of gone. And then it was about Brian Flores apologizing. I mean, that's not a game the Patriots lose. And just from a situational standpoint, how could he not talk about it? I ripped Andy Reid for going into the post-game press conference with the timeout. The Patriots walked in there with the timeout, too. They line up that way. You look at it. You say, not sure. I see Gronk out there. I don't love this. Let's call a timeout and talk about this. Do we have the right personnel on the field? That didn't happen.
So I just don't. The part I disagree with you on is I think Belichick has taken a lot of heat for this, Chris.
Well, maybe on your show.
Okay, so I don't know specifically who or what you're talking about then. Like, I look at it and I say, Murray, correct me if I'm wrong. I think people killed Belichick for it this week.
I think he kind of made it go away after Monday or Tuesday. I mean, Tuesday, Brian Flores talked, and, you know.
So you're talking about more down there.
Yeah, down people there, were, but just in general.
People were pissed, Chris, and rightfully so. Yeah, at least earlier in the week. I mean, maybe it's
dissipated. I'm wrong.
Maybe it's dissipated.
You guys have the pulse of the people.
Maybe it's dissipated because people can't stay mad forever. I know I can. You know, I intend to.
Yeah, and I'm talking about fans now. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, Bill's dealings with the media. And I did find it interesting that Flores came out and took more blame for it than Bill did. Like, that I found interesting.
Yeah.
And that Brady can stand there on Sunday after making one of the worst decisions we've ever seen him make in his career. Unquestionably one of the worst. I mean, if you were to ask me Brady's worst decisions in his career as a Patriot, three come off the top of my head. One was Sunday.
Yep.
One was the end of the half in Seattle when he got intentional grounding and they had the 10-second runoff. It's similar to this, in which he cost him points. And the other one is the safety in the Super Bowl against the Giants.
Oh, wow. Two in mind would be the Champ Bailey play and that terrible interception he threw against Miami down there falling down.
Okay, so we can rattle off even more then. So Brady can sit there and say it was my fault. And Flores can come out, but Bill can't?
I mean, he did. It was quick. You know, on Monday he did, in fairness to Bill, he did say, you know, we got to do it better and that's on me. But then it just kind of, it was like, okay, this is it. Like, we're on to Pittsburgh. Like, I still want to know. And I'm not, I feel like Tom Curran asked him this question on Monday in the press conference, and he got a little snippy with Tom about it. But do they have two different personnel groupings? In other words, is there a Hail Mary positional grouping that they put out there? And then is there a defend the lateral grouping? Do they have two different groupings? If they don't, will they have two moving forward? Maybe you should. Like, I just look out there and say, look, the guys didn't make the tackle. I get that. But you didn't have the right personnel on the field. And if every time something goes right, and rightfully so, we laud the coach because he is the greatest of all time, I feel like he's kind of skated on this one.
So what's worse, having Gronk on the field or not having McCourty on it?
I think having Gronk on there
is worse.
Yeah.
See, I think the opposite. I think that even if you wanted to keep Gronk on the field, let's say that, you know, they can Hail Mary it to the 15. So we're going to put Gronk out there.
Yeah.
Fine. McCourty's the guy you take off?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Devin McCourty's the guy you take off. Jonathan Jones, J.C. Jackson, all these guys get placed on the field ahead of Devin McCourty? That's the one I can't wrap my head around. Like, I look at that one and say, that's brutal.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But you know what makes that play worse to me is the ending of the Chicago game, where you had Josh Gordon in that jumper role, and they end up completing the pass because the guy who is there to do the one thing he's supposed to do doesn't do it, sort of misjudges the ball. So you had already had a circumstance earlier in the year where you had narrowly escaped on a similar type of situation.
Yeah, they tempted fate with this.
They said. And so would you look at that and say, maybe we shouldn't put an offensive play? Like when you had Randy Moss, he was elite at going up and high-pointing the football. And I wrote this week, to the point that his surname became a verb for doing so, for jumping over guys and getting the ball at its highest point. He's a unique talent and uniquely good at that spot. But most offensive players, like, what is Gronk really adding being out there, even if it is a Hail Mary?
Especially now.
Yeah. I mean, most offensive players, like, their inclination is not to jump up and bat the ball away. It's let it come to them and catch it. It's antithetical to what they do. I mean, if you have one guy who's really unique and elite like Randy Moss, fine. But just the whole idea of having an offensive guy there as the jumper, how much value is that really adding? Or are you just outsmarting yourself?
I mean, I know this. If I were McCourty, I'd be pissed. I'd be pissed. You tell me to back my ass up all the time and play way back there, and then they get into that situation, you take me off the field, and I'm the fastest straight line guy on the defense, and I'm maybe the best tackler on the team, and you take me off the field, I'd be pissed if I were McCourty. Livid. But he won't be because he's a good guy and he's, you know, well-adjusted, unlike me.
Well, he got his hush ball.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
5 on the shot clock. Kyrie rises, tough three.
Hey! Got it! Oh, a dagger of a three by Kyrie Irving with John Wall in his face.
Get off my damn toe, man.
Celtics by two. 32 seconds to go. Wall drives past bars, gets to the cup easily, and scores again. 34 for John Wall. 33 for Kyrie. Tie game with 21 seconds to go in the overtime. Kyrie Irving out near half court. Pull up. Crazy deep. Oh, and he got it.
Kyrie, don't go it. Kyrie, I'm having a heart attack out here.
Kyrie Irving closing out the Washington Wizards the other night. Pretty good performance. Wasn't a great shooting night for Kyrie. Marcus Smart with some big plays. Chris Gasper from the Globe in here. Final hour today and Agenda Free Friday. So, Chris, where are you on the Celtics now? Everything fixed? Everything good? All the rotations square? You know, good ship lollipop? Everything's fixed there?
I think they're in a good spot. The one thing that sort of annoys me a little bit, though, is I feel like as well as they're playing, and it's great. I mean, seven in a row. But now they're sort of, we're getting that sort of same revisionist history that ended up happening in 2014 with the Patriots, where it's like there was an issue, it got fixed, which is what great coaches do, and then they won. And now we're sort of getting this point where it's like, well, there was never an issue. It's like there was an issue. They were 10-10. People like me were railing that they needed to change the starting lineup. They did, and they've gone on a nice run here. Now let's see how it translates to some of the other contenders when they get to Milwaukee and Philadelphia and sort of that stretch there. Let's see how it translates at that point, and then I can tell you whether everything is fixed. But certainly they're playing much better. They look like an elite team. You know, the other night I liked the way that they, you know, Washington's not a good team, but the Wizards get up for the Celtics, and that goes back to when Isaiah Thomas was here, the playoff series, the whole thing.
And there is talent there.
There is talent there, even though they're wildly underachieving this year. So when you look at that, I don't penalize the Celtics in any way for winning that game in overtime. They were depleted. The Wizards were always going to give them their best shot. And you got peak Kyrie, which is so enjoyable to watch.
Well, so look, in all honesty, I'm not going to dump on the Wizards. They play the Celtics tough. They give them a hard time, especially down there. And so, to me, I look at it, and I thought that was a pretty good win.
They're like Miami to the Pats. Even though they stink, you're getting their best.
Yes, you're getting their best shot.
Absolutely. And look, the end of that game, how could you not look at Kyrie Irving and say, whoa. Like, he does remind you every now and then that he's just on a different level than everybody else on the roster. Completely, except maybe Tatum, who's fairly close, but has still got a ways to go. I mean, you're talking about a young guy there in Tatum who just doesn't, you know, he doesn't have the experience yet, although he's unique in his own right. But my point to you, I guess, with regard to the is it fixed, Chris, they've really, two things. One, they've really played garbage. The seven teams they've beaten during their winning streak, or six teams because they played New Orleans twice.
Twice.
None of them are in the playoffs.
That's correct, yeah.
They're all lottery teams. Okay, so they're averaging 125 points a game now in the last seven, which I actually think is a pretty good sign because it does speak to the offensive potency of the group.
And that was their big issue. You were looking at it with the old starting lineup and saying, what's going on here? There's too much talent for this team to be struggling the way they're struggling offensively. They have broken through there.
So the second part of it is, and this is something Felger touched on the other day, they're missing some guys right now, or at least they were the other night. No Horford, no Jaylen Brown. No Gordon Hayward and Murray. You said Hayward's coming back tonight, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so, but when you take those guys out of the mix, well, then there's no gray area about the rotations. I mean, it's, you've got, what, six or seven guys to pick from, and so it makes it a lot easier for the coach. And they've had a situation here of late where Brown's missed a couple of games, Horford's missed a couple of games, so there have been fewer bodies and players to appease, and the whole thing might be running more smoothly. Are you confident that they have really fixed sort of the role type thing?
I am, actually, because before they had the injury situations, you had Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward coming off the bench. I liked what I saw with a second unit that at times would put the three wings out there with Daniel Tice and Rozier. I thought that was good as sort of a secondary unit. I liked that. And I thought it was really interesting that even when they had some of the injuries, and I'm trying to remember the game, it might have been the Bulls game, but they still made sure Jaylen Brown came off the bench. Like, he could have been reinserted into the starting line. I thought that that was a tell from Brad to say, this is your role for now. Maybe not the whole season, but this is your role for now coming off the bench. We don't want to disrupt too many things. I think inserting Marcus Morris and Marcus Smart into the starting line. Marcus Morris has been playing tremendously. I mean, he sort of got overshadowed a little by the way Kyrie finished that game against the Wizards, but he's been great. And I think Marcus Smart is somebody that Kyrie obviously likes playing with, respects his basketball IQ, but I think Kyrie also feels like, this guy lets me be me. I can play off the ball a little bit, and you know what? If I slack on defense, or if I'm not shutting a guy down, Marcus will clean it up a little bit. And I think that takes some pressure off of Kyrie Irving. So I think it was all about finding the right mix. I think they found the right mix in that starting lineup. They have. And I think that when you look at Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown, if they're being productive off the bench, and they have been when they've been healthy, and the team's winning, well, what do they have to complain about?
Yeah, to me, it's all about those complementary pieces. Kyrie should be able to slack on the defensive end. He's going to. That's why you need guys there to help him. Now, he took a big charge late in that game from John Wall and actually made a half-decent defensive play. I feel like he's pretty active with his hands on defense. It feels to me like he's getting some steals. I don't remember that last year, but it does feel better that way. Let's get back to the phones. John's in a car. John, go ahead.
Hi, guys. If I can get back to the Patriots for a minute. So I have a perception. I'm noticing a disturbing trend with the coaching staff. If you start with, like, the inexplicable losses, the teams that they really, I guess, should have no business losing against, and then you go all the way back to the Kansas City game, and I'll give you a couple of examples. They're getting late in that Kansas City
John,
game.
John, skip the examples. What's your ultimate point?
Okay, the point is it seems like the coaching staff is slapping it out there, because in that Miami game, when Brady had the mix-up at the end of the half, Miami had called the timeout. So they came out of a timeout, and no one on the sideline told him, you don't have any timeouts. And then,
okay, so John, I'll tell you what, stop there, because to me that's something we talked about earlier in the week, too. The play with Brady at the end of the half when he loses, I shouldn't say loses track of the clock. I think he knew what the time was on the clock and didn't get rid of the ball. Okay, who do you blame there?
I blame Brady. I think that's on him, but that doesn't take away from the caller's point. I mean, it's sort of like in the NBA at a timeout, right? There's a stoppage in play, and you let the players know, hey, you know, here's how many team fouls we have. This is the situation. Here's how many timeouts we have. And obviously, they have the coach-to-quarterback communication. There could have been a reminder there. Ultimately, that one's on Brady, but could there have been something done by the coaching staff just to sort of remind him of the situation? Yeah, there could have been.
I mean, if you had to guess, do you think there was?
I don't think there was, because if there was, there's no way he messes it up twice. One, not knowing what the situation is. Two, getting a reminder and then forgetting the reminder. I don't think so.
I don't know. See, I just wonder if by matter of course that he would come over and say, Tom, they would just go over it all and say, Tom, just remember no timeouts. Yep. And it went in one ear and out the other, or he heard it and then got into the moment and either thought that he could make a throw that he couldn't, or feared being strip sacked and held onto it at the very end. I don't know what. But to me, ultimately, Brady's been in the league 20 years.
There's no good answer or explanation. He should
know. That one's on him. He has to own that, and he has, absolutely. I mean, inexplicable for him. I mean, that game, they got screwed because they're two principals of the dynasty, both committed situational football malpractice at the end of each half.
For how many years have we heard coach and quarterback? And then they get into the end of the game, and Belichick screws it up at the end, and Brady does it at the end of the half. They should have won that game by double digits. John's in Charlestown. John, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks very much for taking my call. Between Kraft believing that it's his management style and now Brady believing he's plastic man, like, it's getting really hard to hold back the vomit, you know, not choke on it, you know? Nobody's talking about Edelman, you know, when he slammed his foot down in a preseason, snap goes the ACL. How did that work out? Or you look at Gronk right now, 2 years into trying TB12, he's a shell of himself. You know, like, he can't drag people around anymore, okay? So, I mean, I wish they changed the defensive rules back to the 80s and 90s when, you know, you'd get hit by Ray Lewis. You'd get hit by, like, somebody like Harry Carson, who'd smack you in half. Let's see how Brady, the TB12 method holds up then.
Chris, all right, John, I'm going to let you go. Chris, do you draw any link at all between the TB12 method and some of the issues these guys are having?
For Gronk?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, because I still look at last year, and I just think he was productive. He was coming off a disectomy. That's when you need flexibility, pliability. I think he had to try something different just to be able to keep playing. You know, I mean, that's the other part of this, right? So after that most recent back surgery, everyone's like, oh, he's not lifting weights. He's not doing this. Well, who's to say that he could do all that stuff? He might have just been done. This might be the only way that he can play, given the amount of back surgeries that he's had. And when I say the only way, what I mean is at a slimmer weight with a more slender frame. He might not be able to go back to that old way and that old body.
Let's squeeze in one more. Alan Boston, but you got to be fast.
Hey, Casper, Maz, every year for the last 20 years, everyone makes more of this Pittsburgh game in Pittsburgh. Rodgers Bowman is going to wear his big fat boy pants. The Patriots are going to win significantly by like 21. It's not even going to be close.
If I knew it was going to be a Yahoo call, I wouldn't have taken him. I wouldn't have taken him if I thought it was going to be a Yahoo call. Do you think it's going to be a blowout Sunday?
I don't think it's going to be 21 points, but I mean, they should win this by a touchdown.
Okay. So the Patriots are favored by now, what, Maria? 3 points?
3.5 last I checked.
So I think
they should win by 6 or 7.
This, to me, feels like a field goal game. I do.
And both kickers stink.
I had this earlier in the week, and I'm not picking the game. I mean, if you forced me to, I would pick the Patriots.
Pick it and stick it.
Okay.
You still haven't picked yet. Mike and I did. Pick.
Okay, so I picked.
Go on, pick.
I picked on the website. I had to pick on the website. So I picked the Patriots by a point. Because I think that someone's going to screw up at the end of the game to blow it, and it's more likely to be the Steelers than the Patriots. So that was it. I don't have confidence in either team. And I would, I look at a game like this and I say, honestly, I wouldn't bet on either team with your money, Gasper, if you want to know the truth. I look at it and
he's got to use that money on his fancy clothes.
Clearly. The fashion plate of the Boston sports media.
Okay.
Christopher Gasper. Final word is next, and we'll update you on Christmas in the city as well when we come back.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Bass.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nope, nobody.
Maz, let the people know what's up with the Christmas in the City auction.
Okay, so we'll do this quickly, and then we'll get to the final word. But you have just a matter of hours now to bid on the final items for the Christmas in the City auction taking place at christmasinthecity.org, or you can also find a link on the 98.5thesportshub.com website. Just to update you on some of the items. Again, and this will expire at midnight tonight, I believe, Jimmy Stewart, right? So this all goes up Correct. Until midnight. Larry Bird signed basketball there for $1,000. I'm not going to give you a blow-by-blow on all of them other than to say cool items. Seaport stay with a rail stop gift card, a four-pack of Celtics tickets against the Pacers, six rows behind the bench. And because I'm involved in it, I want to tell you that we have an item on there where you can play a round of golf, three of you with me, at the Atkinson Resort and Country Club in Atkinson, New Hampshire. Hardy was kind enough to join in this, so it's now the top two bidders in that. And Callaway is donating a putter from the 2019 line to all six participants with me and Hardy. Okay, so if you and two of your buddies, you'll each get a putter. It's not just one putter for the group. That is on there as well. You can check it out one more time, christmasinthecity.org. Or on the 98.5thesportshub.com website, you'll find the link for Christmas in the City, and the auction expires at midnight. Go ahead, Murray.
All right, what do we got there, Jimmy Stewart? I guess we have something new that was put together by Hardy.
This is a squeaky Maz from yesterday relating to Ben Roethlisberger.
You forget Roethlisberger, his heart's not in it anymore. Again, his heart hasn't been in it for a while. And he has the audacity to get pissed off when they draft a replacement because they see him half-assing it and showing up like the whale that he is, for crying out loud. His fat ass. He looks huge now. He was never fast, but he was strong. It was hard to pull down, and he could move a little bit. Now, he's a big pile of jelly back there, the fat load.
You got a little bit of the fat Felger face going on.
For about 3 years now, he's fat and he's out of shape.
My body too
disgusting
for you, baby.
You fat slob.
Look, what do you want me to tell you? For a professional athlete playing quarterback to look the way he looks now, seriously.
It looks like she's been playing darts at your local beer league or whatever.
Oh, God, he is. He's a fat dump. That's what he is. He's a fat dump. Unbelievable.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.